Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Will Bunch, who's an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and a senior fellow with Media Matters for America. He blogs at attitude.com and is the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortions of the Reagan Legacy. And his latest book is The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. Welcome to Background Briefing, Will Bunch.
Hi, Ian. Good to be back on again. Thanks.
Thank you. And your state of Pennsylvania, 1 million people have been struck from the rolls. This is an extraordinary time for American democracy when millions of Americans who want to vote Democrat, who voted before and who are eligible voters, have to jump through hoops to prove who they are, whereas billionaires who are buying the elections for the Republicans don't have to identify who they are. It's an extraordinary turn of events. What is being done in the state of Pennsylvania to push back against, notwithstanding the White House's lawsuit, but what's being done on the ground to get these million voters their rights back?
Right. Well, I mean, a few things are happening. I mean, I think the easiest and most promising path of success is the one that's being undertaken in the court system right now. The ACLU of Pennsylvania, along with some plaintiffs, for example, a woman who is, gosh, I don't have it in front of me, either her late 80s or early 90s, who's voted in every election for the last half century, but has identification card problems that are very complicated, and a few other individual plaintiffs are suing the state. It just seems on its face that this move is a violation of the state constitution, which, among other things, calls for, you know, make it easy and free for people to vote and participate in elections. So I think they have a decent chance of prevailing in the court system. Now, of course, in Pennsylvania, ultimately it could be challenged all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, I don't know how, if it would be fast-tracked or how that would work, but obviously the chances at the Supreme Court in Washington with that current makeup aren't as good. Now, that's one thing. I mean, there are a couple other things that are happening, though, too. I mean, obviously, people have to prepare for the worst, as it were. So you do have a number of various community and activist groups, the NAACP and other groups are doing everything they can to identify who these voters are who lack identification and, if so, to try and, help them through the process to make sure that they have the type of ID that they'll be able to take at the polls. I mean, I think those are the two kind of main fronts you're seeing progress on, hopefully. And like I said, most of us hope that it's plan A and that the law just gets thrown out and never goes to plan B.
Well, there's no question about the partisan nature of the law, because the architect of the law, who's the top Republican in the legislature in the state of Pennsylvania, boasted, and he's on camera, they play the clip often, that the new voter ID laws that he pushed through, quoting him, will deliver the state of Pennsylvania to Mitt Romney.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really incredible the way it's played out in that those of us who've been warning about this from day one and how terrible it would be, I mean, we've seen a couple things. I mean, we've seen that statement from Mike Terzai, who's one of the top Republican legislators, making it pretty plain that the intent of this is what we said it was all along, to help Republicans win an election. The other thing that's incredible is with this court case is the state even stipulated that it had no evidence to present of an existing problem with voter fraud. In other words, normally if you're being sued, they say, well, this law is necessary because look at all the voter fraud that's taken place. I mean, they didn't come in. Not only did they not come in with a case, I mean, they actually stipulated in a document that they weren't going to present that kind of evidence. So the events of the last couple months have just shown this to be exactly what critics have said it is, which is just a pure partisan, undemocratic scam to help the Republicans win an election.
Now, in terms of tear down this myth, the right-wing distortion of the Reagan legacy,
yes.
We have now, with the addition of Paul Ryan on the ticket, the Mitt Romney-Ryan, the R&R ticket, you have a tremendous reactionary deviation of the history of the Republican Party. I don't think it's ever had anybody on the ticket. Certainly, Goldwater doesn't even begin to be as radical as Paul Ryan is in terms of his right-wing and libertarian bent. But both of them on the stump are basically saying things like, we're going to appeal to bipartisanship, we're going to appeal to the better angels of our nature. I find this extraordinary that this party that has been characterizing Obama from day one as a Muslim and an imposter and a terrorist coddler and sympathizer has this ability to suggest that they want to rise above the nasty nature of the politics. They're the ones that created the nasty nature of our politics. Also, I mean, I just was looking at a film clip of the governor of Wisconsin, the controversial Scott Walker, with a sort of turban over his head at a prayer meeting in the Sikh temple that was attacked by a psychotic with a gun. The reason that psychotic Nazi had a gun that was concealed is that Scott Walker signed into law the concealed weapon ban bill in the state of Wisconsin. So I just can't understand how there is this. They're not called out on this extraordinary hypocrisy.
Right. Well, there was just so much hypocrisy in what you just said. I don't know where to start to respond, but I would say the one thing, like you said, I was flabbergasted because although I just got back from vacation, but I did take a few minutes out. I did happen to catch Paul Ryan's announcement yesterday in his little speech and Romney's speech preceding that. And, you know, the nerve of Mitt Romney to basically accuse Obama of making these cuts in Medicaid and, we're going to be the ones to protect Medicaid. As he's introducing Paul Ryan, the author of this plan, which would severely reduce Medicaid and Medicare as we know it, if that doesn't meet the definition of Orwellian, I don't know what does. I mean, it was clear double speak, double think, or whatever you want to call it. It was crazy. It's a good point that you mentioned Reagan because, when you go back 30 years to what Reagan was and what he did, and obviously he did a lot of things that you and I and a lot of listeners probably disagree with, absolutely, but he did do this. I mean, he did fight to save Social Security. In fact, he was even willing to sign off on a payroll tax increase to make sure that Social Security was funded. And he believed in the safety net. In fact, one of the reasons that he had a falling out with David Stockman, his budget chief, was because he didn't want to sign on to some of these more radical plans that would have cut Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security. So, that's how far the party, or quote, the party of Reagan is unquote, has gone from Reagan in just 30 years. It's really stunning to watch. And, I mean, I could be wrong. I've been wrong about things in the past, but I think the voters, if they have any level of knowledge or education about what the Ryan plan is or what Ryan and Romney would do if they're actually elected president, I mean, I think a majority of Americans are going to reject that plan. I mean, I guess it's up to the Democrats and up to others and people in the media to make sure we have an informed electorate and who know what the real choice is. But there's a clear choice in this election.
But isn't that, Will Bunch, isn't it fundamental, though, when you talk about the use of the word electorate? Well, what about the mechanics of democracy? What about all of this, these platitudes that we recite, from kindergarten on about the great American democracy and we hold these truths to be self-evident and all this stuff? When the very machinery of democracy is being tampered with in such brazen ways, for example, in the state of Ohio, the key swing state, you have the Republican legislature there just passed a law allowing the Republican precincts in that state to stay open 2 hours longer than the Democratic precincts. Now, they're not even trying to disguise the outrageous partisan nature of this voter suppression so that they get elected in this swing state, and they're doing the same in your state, Pennsylvania. So
right, no, they're not. I mean, I guess they're counting on because a lot of things have happened over the last 20, 25, 30 years, and they've seen the American people not get outraged about some of the things that they have been able to get away with. And, you know, it's human nature, right? The more you get away with, the more brazen you get in your next scheme. And here that's what exactly what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing them saying, why can't we get away with this voting scheme? I mean, it really is appalling what's going on. I just got back to Philadelphia from a trip, which included a couple days in Memphis, where I revisited the Civil Rights Museum, where Martin Luther King was assassinated. And you know, I'm looking at these exhibits and just the remarkable struggle that was undertaken up through the 50s and the 60s to get basic voting rights, you know, for African Americans and for other minorities in this country. And the fact that we're going through this, you know, 45 years later, it just boggles the mind. I mean, that this is still a problem. I mean, obviously, we've taken two steps up, but why take this one step back now? Why? I mean, we should always be moving forward. We shouldn't be taking any steps back. It's crazy.
Well, it's crazy, but it's also insulting that you've got the candidate on the Republican side posing himself as this sort of moral family man with good values. There's been a lot of questions about his business practices, the fact that he won't release his taxes can only tell you one of two things: either he's hiding something, or he's incredibly arrogant. That he thinks he's above the average American, that he doesn't have to stoop to the level of ordinary folk have minimum scrutiny. And after all, he is running to become president of the United States. It's again, I'm just astounded by the brazen nature of the continual lies. It's not the big lie. Everything that this candidate Romney has done from day one, his first ad that he ran in the Iowa caucuses against Obama, where he put John McCain's words in Obama's mouth when Obama was quoting John McCain, that was stooping to the lowest level in terms of lies and manipulation. But he has continued to lie and manipulate every statement. All of their campaign ads have been distortions of what Obama has said, including the latest about waivers in healthcare. That's the part of it that I find extraordinary. And it is.
It's very discouraging that somebody can. You know, every time I watch a Romney, like when he won some of these primaries, and I would watch his 10 or 15 minute victory speech. And there would just be, you know, sentence number one is a lie. Sentence number two is a lie. You know, Obama apologized overseas. You know, he wants European-style socialism, and just on and on. And it's like it's almost like if every time you give a speech, there's just so many lies in one speech that people are just overwhelmed. They just throw their hands up, and it's like, what are you going to do? You know, and it is frustrating. The one thing, maybe I'm not quite. Maybe you're a little bit more pessimistic than I am, but I do think, I mean, I think when you look at the situation, obviously, unemployment is still unacceptably high in this country. And normally, in past times, when we've seen that condition, it's been terrible news for the incumbent. And instead, what we're seeing is, you know, it's going to be close, but we're seeing right now a very narrow lead for President Obama. And I think enough voters, and I wish it were more, obviously, but I think enough voters are seeing this fundamental level of dishonesty, and enough voters are asking, you know, well, how come he's not releasing his tax returns? Why is he being so secretive? I think, it's not as much as we'd like, but I think enough voters are seeing that there's just something inauthentic and not right about Mitt Romney, and I think that's the reason why you see the president with a lead, even though unemployment is at 8.3%. So we'll have to see how it plays out between now and November. Hopefully, again, they say no one ever went broke underestimating the American people, but hopefully maybe we are underestimating the American people, and maybe enough people will realize that they're being misinformed and misled by one party.
Well, just in closing, Will Bunch, again, award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and senior writer with the Media Matters for America. Just back to the voter suppression in the state of Pennsylvania, where essentially a million people have been struck off the rolls, and you mentioned the ACLU court case involving the elderly woman who's voted all of her life and now can't vote because she doesn't have the right ID. It would seem that I know that there are some groups on the ground, the North Philadelphia Coalition and Votes for Homes and others that are organizing along these lines. Is there any evidence that the Democratic Party itself, after all, they're the ones whose voters are being denied the vote. Do they appear to have a ground game here in Pennsylvania?
No, it's unfortunate because I think you know, I think we have a weakened party system in Pennsylvania, as in a lot of states, and so. I haven't seen a huge Democratic Party gear up. Now, we do have, you know, and Philadelphia still has the very old-fashioned ward leader system, and that'll help, I'm sure. And, you know, I think you know how politics are these days. There's a lot of money for field operations, but it all goes to the Obama operation and how prepared or geared up the Obama administration or the Obama campaign, excuse me, is, you know, for handling this kind of a problem, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you look at these names and they're smaller community-based groups and not the big groups. But those, but I wouldn't be, again, I wouldn't be so pessimistic. I mean, I think those are the groups that you want to see involved because while they're small, they're in the neighborhoods. They know where the people are at and how to find them and how to hopefully motivate people in their own community. So, like I said, I mean, this is Plan B. I mean, Plan A is obviously just getting rid of the law, which obviously can't happen legislatively at this point, but could happen in the court system. And Plan B is if you have to live under this law, how do you get as many people out to the polls to vote? Because that's what it's all about in this country, trying to get people to vote. And if you can't do it the right way, you'll have to do it this way.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Will Bunch.
All right, Ian, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Will Bunch, who is an award-winning senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and a senior fellow with Media Matters for America. He blogs at attitude.com. He's the author of Tear Down This Myth, The Right-Wing Distortion of the Reagan Legacy. And his latest book is The Backlash, Right-Wing Radicals, High-Def Hucksters, and Paranoid Politics in the Age of Obama. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.